this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Program. I'm your host, Primo Mondone. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com, where there should be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. Listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen in using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates. WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia. WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia. WJNW, AM 1650, Herman, Tennessee. Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL, Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Coffman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia, WCNR Digital in West Virginia, and K98Talk.com. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, all right. You went to saw The Martian last night, as I did.
Yeah, highly recommended. It's a good flick. We won't get into it a whole lot. Ken and I talked about it for quite a lengthy period before we started the show. But just for our listeners, if you've not seen The Martian or starring Matt Damon, go see it. I'm telling you, man, it's a good flick. It's one of the best of this year, I think. It's in my top four or five, I'm sure, if I've sat down and thought about it. Really good.
It's got humor. It's got there's a little bit for everybody in there, so it's good.
Yeah, it's a compelling story. And the thing is, right at the very beginning of the movie, you pretty much know what the situation is, but then you just don't know how he's going to get out of his predicament. You have no clue as to what's really going to happen. So, good film. And by the way, the director, Ridley Scott, this is a triumph for him because he has done some really good movies in the past, but the last 5 or 10 years, he put out a bunch of stinkers. And this is not a stinker. This is a good film. So congratulations to him for finally getting his career back on track. because he's a good director. I hate to see him put out crap. He has put out some really good stuff. in the past. Like, for example, Aliens, Alien and Aliens, all that stuff is all his. And I can't even remember all the rest of them. But back a few years ago, he had nothing but hit after hit after hit. And he hit a whatever.
Big dry spell.
You know, okay, for a while. Okay, let's get started. Let's talk about this Oregon shooting situation where just found out recently, actually I found out, I guess today or last night, that the gunman at this college in Oregon, he actually committed suicide at the end of this thing after he realized he was out, you know, wasn't going to make it, which a lot of these cowards do this. They go out and they start shooting people and this, that, and the other. And then when the cops show up or someone shows up or, you know, then they turn their gun on themselves. And I think that just shows you what kind of coward they really are, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But let's talk about this on the terms of, first of all, from what I've read so far, 9 people were killed. Some of these people were just young people going to college, you know, and some of them were actually older folks like us, well, maybe not like us, maybe a little younger than us, who were going back to college to get a new career. But the thing about this particular mass shooting that's different from most of the others, literally this guy had people, he lined them up, I guess, had them get down on their knees. Asked them if what their religion was, and if they said they were a Christian, he shot them right in the head. And if he said they weren't a Christian or they had no religious beliefs, he just shot them in the thigh. It's from what I've been reading. I may be wrong on some of this stuff, but I think that's pretty much the way it went. And now, the mainstream media is not saying a whole lot about this guy, which kind of makes sense, I guess, in a way, because especially, there's several things here. This kid, supposedly, his mother is black, so he definitely has a dark complexion. But I don't know if you know him or not, Ken, but have you seen some of the photos being put out by the media that make him look like he's white?
No, I have not seen that.
I have. I noticed the little things like that. I thought, huh. Also, there are reports that this guy was a white supremacist, which I find interesting, that the fact he basically had a dark complexion and his mother was black. I kind of find that hard to believe.
I find it hard to believe because the questions he was asking about religion, about Christianity or not. Sounds to me more like he's Muslim.
Well, there are reports that he is a recent convert to the Islamic faith. But now, that's not been reported by any mainstream media. Maybe eventually that will come out. It has been going around the blogosphere and the internet. And I'm not sure I necessarily know that's true or not. But I find it unusual that he was asking him the religion, and if you were a Christian, you got shot in the head. At the very least, we'd have to say he didn't like Christian, if that's the only thing we can determine from that. But it would be interesting to find out if he in fact is a Muslim.
But that has no bearing if you're a Barack Hussein Obama.
No, it's all about guns, and guns are the problem, and blah, 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 blah. And of course, you know, this happened again, and guess what? Another gun-free zone is when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, let's get this out. There was a guy on campus who was retired from the military, but he was a 10-year Army veteran, and he charged this guy. And I've read several reports, and one says he took 5 gunshots, and another one says 7 gunshots. Wow. So I don't know if it's 5 or 7, Ken, but this guy, it doesn't really matter, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But this guy, you know, just, I mean, you talk about a hero.
Yeah.
I mean, he had no weapon on him. He just went after the guy. Yeah. And... I mean, how do you, what kind of, boy, if this guy doesn't get a medal, I don't, I know he's not even in the military anymore, but I mean, I don't know. I just cannot believe. That is just amazing that someone would do that. This just goes to show you what real Americans, what real men in this country are made of sometimes. And I hate to say it. Now, if I had a gun, I wouldn't hesitate at all taking this guy out.
Oh, absolutely not.
It wouldn't bother me a bit. But no. I don't know if I've, of course, I'm old and fat, and I'm not near as swift as I used to be when I was younger. I don't know if I'd have charged this guy without a weapon. I'm not so sure. Don't think I'm that brave. I'm just, to be honest with you, I just don't really think I'm that. Now, if one of those kids, one of those people that were being shot at were one of my girls, I guess I would. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think I would.
Well, it comes back to the point where when you put a sign up saying we're a gun-free zone, and you got idiots like this that are going to take advantage of that, and they know that they're cowards. Like you said, he's a coward. He took his own life, but he's going to take more people out before he takes his own life. Before the police come there, when there's someone comes there with a gun to challenge him, he's going to take the easy way out.
Right.
Why not just have trained staff on there in the first place? And then if you got signs up, like I saw your post on Facebook, instead of putting the gun-free zones up saying our staff are trained in firearm use, and if you come in to hurt one of us or one of our children, you'll be met with deadly force. To me, that's going to scare away a whole lot more people.
Well, at least they'll make them think about it, you know? At least.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you're going, okay, do I want to go here? I'm a coward. Do I really want to go here?
Well, my thing is, secondly, forget the sign. Just allow everyone on campus to be able to carry if they so choose. And so then the person who goes on campus thinking they're going to have free reign realizes that, hey, anybody here could be carrying a weapon. And so I don't know where they're at, and I don't know who is and who isn't. I think that's a big deterrent. And secondly, we were talking about this guy being a coward. If you want proof that he's a coward, have you ever heard of one of these guys going in and trying to have a shooting rampage like this at a, say for example, a gun range?
Police station?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. Because they know that people there are armed, and they'll make quick use of him, you know, pretty quick. I think they'll put him away pretty quick in most cases. I mean, I go to the gun range, you know, quite a bit, and trust me, there's nobody going to walk into a gun range with, you got 10, 20 guys with rifles and handguns. You're going to be very, you know, well, you know what the thing is about gun ranges is people are very, very polite. you know, old saying, you know, an armed society is a polite society. I'm telling you, it really is true at gun ranges. I'm telling you. You just don't want to piss anybody off because they all sit there carrying heat, you know? So it's like, hey, you idiot, you know? Anyway.
I'm talking more about my situation. I'm in elementary school. So
oh, yeah.
You got, you know, the staff are the only ones that really could carry weapons. And I know people think, oh, somebody's going to put their gun down and a child's going to get it. You know, that we're not that stupid, people.
No.
Just not.
No. So. And the thing is, even if something stupid like that were to happen, that would be so far out of the ordinary and so, I mean, you know, that's a ridiculous argument. It's just a ridiculous argument. But here's the thing. President Obama, of course, makes a big deal about gun. He basically hinted at, you know, gun confiscation is literally one of the things he hinted at in his. He talked about common sense gun laws. Now here's the thing that I'm upset about when he does this stuff in a news conference. You never have a reporter hold his hand up and say, excuse me, Mr. President, can you think of one single gun law that you would have passed that would have prevented this tragedy? One.
Or ask him for specifics. Are you talking about taking everybody's guns? Because they never come out and say that.
Yeah, because when he says common sense gun laws, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Yeah, isn't it funny how liberals say stuff like that?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that was what his whole campaign was based on in 2008, hope and change. And everybody just assumed that hope and change meant hope and change in terms of what they thought hope and change meant.
Yeah.
And he never explained what the hell hope and change meant.
Yeah. My idea of hope and change is different than yours, Primo. And we're conservatives.
Yeah, I'm sure that we would agree on most stuff. But there's probably a couple of things that we go, I don't know, Ken.
Or you would say something, you know, you say something, well, I think this should happen first. And I go, well, I don't think so. This should happen first. You know, I mean, you're talking to people that are on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Hope and change is a broad spectrum.
Yeah, and just like common sense gun laws is a broad spectrum. I mean, some people think a common sense gun law is to get rid of all guns, period, confiscate them all. Well, that's not common sense gun laws. We already have a bunch of gun laws on the books.
That's how the liberal machine works. Plus, that's how the Republican machine works.
You put out
those broad sayings, no child left behind. That sounds great, Primo.
Yeah.
That sounds great. But again, as a teacher, I know that was a piece of S. I'm being nice.
Yeah.
And every teacher, every administrator, they will tell you the same thing. That's why it's not working. That's why states are running from it, because it's unworkable. But that's why you don't hear about it anymore. But, you know, it takes 10 years once it's put into quote-unquote law. Takes about 10 years for people to go, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, when it comes to political ideas, it's great when it can fit on bumper sticker. I mean,
yeah,
because it's easy to get that point across to everyone. But that being said, you got to have details behind the bumper sticker. And the problem is, most politicians don't ever let you know what the details are until after they're elected, and then you find out what the details are, and then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obamacare.
Well, I mean, yeah. Free health care for all. I mean, just go right down the list. I mean, just any stupid. And this goes, like you said, this goes for liberals and progressives, and also goes for conservatives too. Conservatives are guilty of this too.
Which is exactly why we're seeing what we're seeing in the polls. Donald Trump being in the lead and Carson and Fiorina.
Yeah, exactly. Why they're doing so well. And even
people are tired of it, which I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Anyway. I just think the whole thing with Barack Obama doing what he did and politicizing the thing and actually saying that he should politicize this because it's so important, blah, blah, blah. I am so sick of hearing this from this guy.
Say what you told me before the thing started. That this was perfect timing for him because.
Oh, yeah. Well, perfect time for him because the Middle East is in the dumper. I mean, it's been on fire, but now it's really raging on fire because, well, I was going to do this a little bit later, but and we will, because really I can't do it justice in the time we got left before the first break. But it's really on fire because what has happened recently in Syria with Russia and Putin, and we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show in detail, but. He doesn't want to talk about that. He hasn't made a single statement about that. You know, here's the thing. Unless something that's in the news benefits him politically, he ignores it and says nothing. When something happens in the news that he thinks he can get political advantage of, then he comes out to the podium and wants to talk to everybody. That guy is so cynical, it makes me sick.
I'm so ready for him to be gone.
Oh, I cannot wait. He cannot get out of town fast enough.
Well, I think it's not just him. It affects everything in the economy. The economy's been stagnant for 7 years. How long has he been in office? 7 years. Funny how that works.
Well, let's you talk about the economy. Let's bring this up. Job creation in September was way short of what it was supposed to be. I think it was around 142,000 people. supposedly got new jobs. The unemployment rate, the U3 rate, which is what the press reports, which is not really the true unemployment rate, but stayed at 5.1%. However, the participation rate is 62.4%. That's the lowest in 37 years. Total people not in the labor force, 92.543 million people.
That's amazing. Isn't that number just staggering?
That is staggering. In a country of around 320 million, roughly.
That's not reported. The media decides not to tell you about that.
You have to look this thing. I actually had to go to the government website to look this number up because it was not in any of the reports that I read about the unemployment rate. Which brings me up to another thing. Now, we've talked about this before, but I want to spend a little bit of time explaining this. You know, they don't count unemployment like they used to do during the Reagan years, for example. Yeah, exactly. All this stuff got changed in 1994 when Bill Clinton was in office. Now, the U3, the 5.1% that we have right now, that is what they call what everyone calls the headline rate. In other words, that's what you'll see on the headline of the news reports because that's what's being reported now. But used to in the old days, Ken, you had the U6 rate, which included short-term discouraged workers. And the U6 rate is, of course, a lot bigger. It's around 10% or so in that range, okay? But you have to go back even further than that to get the real truth. Remember this website we talked about, shadowstats.com, okay? Shadowstats shows the U3 rate, which is the headline rate, the U6 rate, which is the rate that used to be used long ago, and U6 used to be the headline rate. That used to be what was reported, but it's no longer is. Shadowstats reports the stuff from before 1994, which includes the long-term unemployed. Do you have any idea, Ken? You want to take a guess at what the Shadowstats rates for that is if we were still using that number again? Have any idea what it would be right now?
Twice what it is now? More.
Well, again, the U3 rate, the normal rate that everybody quotes, 5.1%. We know that the U6 rate, which used to be the headline rate, is right around 10. Mm-hmm. It's the chart I looked at, I couldn't tell exactly, but was slightly below 25%. I'm guessing 23-24%.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Good Lord.
That includes short-term, long-term, and current unemployed. That basically covers everything.
One in four or one in five people?
Jeez. Yeah, and that's how you get to the 92 million out of 320-some million people. You see what I'm saying, how all that works?
I thought that when Obama became president, that's when they decided not to include the people that are no longer looking for work.
No, that's not actually true. The U6 number is which includes only the short-term discouraged workers, does not include long-term. That is still out there. It's still put out by the government, but nobody pays attention to it, and they only report the U3 rate, which is the 5.1%. So that wasn't necessarily Obama. All that stuff happened in 1994 under Bill Clinton. But again, the rate I just gave you, the nearly 23-24% rate, is if you go back and do it. Go way back from when they first started calculating this stuff. That used to be available because they reported the U6. I know this gets a little confusing. They used to report the U6, and then this other number was there in the stats. You had to look for it. But see, now we're so far up the chain that only the U3 is getting reported, and you have to look to find the U6. It's almost impossible to find this last number, the 23-24% number, and the only place I can find it is from Shadowstats. I don't even think the U.S. government even puts that number out anymore.
Probably not.
I'm pretty sure that they basically, it's not even counted anymore, literally. I mean, they don't keep track of it. So, you know, they're just lying to us. They're just, they've been lying to us for years about what's really going on in this country. And, of course, most American people are not going to dig as deep as I just dug to give you those numbers. People have no idea what the hell's going on in this country.
That's because the media has taken sides.
Well, they have. They have literally taken sides as to what basic philosophy they believe in. And they just simply don't report things that they should report. And they've been doing that for quite a while, but it's gotten worse, I think, the last 10, 15 years. So, okay, we're out of time. We got to get a break. We'll do that. And when we come back, we got plenty more to talk about. We are going to talk about, we got to talk briefly about Ted Cruz a little bit, something we want to mention there. Talk about the CNBC debate that's coming up. Could be the end of Christie, Huckabee, and Rand Paul's campaigns. We'll talk about Netanyahu's UN speech, and we're going to talk about this situation in Syria with Vladimir Putin and the Russians. And they're making Obama look like a jackass. So, anyway, and the United States too, as a matter of fact. That's it. Let's go to break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Please stick with us. This is the Red State Town Hall program. We'll be right back. Red State Talk Radio,
WRS Cleveland. Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-610-3497. 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get 2 bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. This is the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Ken Brown. Couple things here real quick, and then we're going to get into this whole Russian-Putin thing. Putin-Russian thing. Politico had an article, a good article, about Ted Cruz explaining that this could be his big moment coming up. With the way things are shaking out, with the way the polls are, Cruz has an opportunity on a few subjects to maybe gain some real ground and get into that top tier. Right now he's in the middle tier, you'd have to pretty much say. He's just outside the top tier at this point. And the big news is, I think you said there was a Pew Center research poll, Ken, you mentioned before the show we were talking, that Jeb Bush is down to 4% now.
Yeah, he's dropped. Now, he was in the lead in the very beginning.
Well, yeah, of course. Right.
And now he is, the last I just saw in the news was Trump at 25, Carson at 16, Rubio and Fiorina tied at 8, Cruz at 6, and Bush has fallen to 4%.
With all that money, good Lord, 4%.
If you don't see what's going on in this country, that should be right there.
I mean, would you not agree that Bush is the quintessential establishment candidate?
Right? Oh, absolutely. And the most name recognition? I'd give Trump a big part of that too, as far as name recognition.
Oh yeah.
That's where. And that, but Trump being there and Bush not being in second place, or a close second, or even a third place, they're dropping to 4%. That's if you're in Bush's camp, you got to be thinking, oh my gosh, what do we do?
Well, you know what politicians always say, and news reports always say, well, these early polls don't mean anything because it's all about name recognition. If you got a good name, you're recognized, and you're going to be at the top of the polls.
Not for this one.
That might have been true a couple months ago, but now that we're getting into this, we've had two debates, name recognition is not saving Jeb Bush.
Nope.
Matter of fact, I think the only reason he's at even 4% is name recognition.
Yeah.
He's not performed well in the debates. He's not, I don't think he's impressed anybody. He hadn't impressed me with anything he said.
No.
And,
plus he's a Common Core person. And
well, he's got a lot of things against him. Yeah. Common Core, and let's see, what's the, a couple of others off the top of my head?
Immigration.
Well, yeah, immigration. Yeah, those two are really that's a death nail right there.
I think so. I mean, it is. I mean, I don't even pay any attention. I'm thinking, he's not even in my top five. So
he's not in my top five. Matter of fact, he's not even in my top anything.
I would vote for him if he was the candidate. I mean, if he was the
Republican nominee.
Yeah, the nominee, but that's the only reason I would vote for him. And how would I hate to do that? I know a lot of people that wouldn't vote. They wouldn't go.
I'm one of them. If he or Christie are the Republican nominee, I think I will stay home from a presidential election, first time in my adult life ever.
But to me, it's like, would you rather have him or Hillary? I mean, I don't want Hillary in there.
I don't think there's any damn difference.
Well, it may not be.
I'm just serious.
May not be. I just can't vote for a criminal. I just can't. I mean, I can't do, not vote and let a criminal just take over the country.
Well, let me put this this way. I say what I just said based on it would just really kill me to do it. And I don't know if I would really stay home, but that's my gut feeling is, yeah, the hell with it. It doesn't matter anymore. It's literally kind of the way I'd be thinking. They're like, screw it. They're all the same. And that's not true. They're not all the same. But when you're looking at Bush versus Hillary, pretty much there ain't a hell of a lot of difference between them two, those two. I mean, they're not, really. I'm serious on that. So, anyway. Secondly, CNBC is talking about basically cutting out all the 1%ers, like Donald Trump was talking about Rand Paul in the last debate. Not necessarily 1%, but basically they said something like, if you're polling 1, 2, 3, 4%, so you're probably not going to be in the debate at all. They basically said that. And that means that would be Christie, Paul, Huckabee, and of course all the other people that were in the first debate. You know where Lindsey Graham and those guys are. Those guys are polling 1% or less. So
It also changes the screen appearance. Because, if Bush stays where he's at, he's going to be on the end.
Yeah. He won't be up there next to Donald Trump. It'll be at this point, it would be what Donald Trump, Carla Fiorina, and Ben Carson sitting next to him, right? I guess pretty much
in the middle. Yeah.
Maybe Rubio, maybe, depending on.
Yeah.
But yeah. And like I say, Paul, Christie, Huckabee, wouldn't even be on the stage. Neither. I don't think John Kasich would either. I mean, I don't know. I've not looked at the – now, here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to do the real clear politics thing where it averages all these polls together. I'm not sure. But mere fact that they're talking about cutting out the – basically, they're trying to trim the field a little bit, which I'm kind of glad. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have half as many people on the stage and give them more time. And because when the question's asked and you got – all these people trying to, I mean, and we've said before, most of these debates are not debates, they're actually press conferences. That being said, the last one was a little bit more of a debate because CNN was trying to have a lunchroom fight. They were trying to have a food fight, during the debate. And it pretty much worked for the most part. Okay, let's talk about Netanyahu and his speech to the UN this past week. First of all, Ken, have you seen it?
I saw parts of it.
Okay, I guess you saw the part where he stared down the UN assembly for about 45 seconds. Did you see that part?
And he pretty much said that if you were in my shoes or you in the shoes of Israel. You'd be ticked off, but not one country has come up to the aid of Israel and downplayed what's going on. And the thing is, the big statement to me was, if you were getting 30, 40 rockets a day, I don't know what if you're landing in or trying to land in your country. You might be, thinking this a little differently.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a good point. But the startling thing was, and I thought the powerful part of the speech was when he said that no one has come to the defense of Israel, not one single country has really all across the board. And then he sat there and just looked at them because he said your silence is deafening. And then he sat there and looked at everybody and looked at them. And 45 seconds doesn't seem like a long time, but when you're giving a speech from the UN, it's a long time.
Yeah.
And by the way, guess who was not present during his speech?
Us.
The United States delegation was not present. Samantha Powers, John Kerry, Guess where they were at during the speech?
Where?
They were on a video conference call with Obama. Now, I'm sure maybe they needed to have the video conference call, and I'm sure that it might have been important, and I'm sure that it needed to happen, but did it need to happen when Netanyahu was giving his speech?
For Obama, yes.
Yes, for Obama, because he doesn't he's not on the side of Israel. Anybody who thinks that Obama is pro-Israel and he's not. He does not like Netanyahu. Netanyahu, I don't think, likes him.
We know for a fact that he was trying to take out Netanyahu and go with the other candidates in Israel. We were sending money to the other candidates.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure
that's a violation of U.S. law.
You think?
I think so, yeah. Because we were meddling in another country's election, using U.S. money to do that. That's not supposed to happen. But nobody says anything about it because he's the black guy, and you can't say anything about the black guy because you're a racist if you do.
It doesn't matter how much he breaks the law.
It doesn't matter what he does. He can break the law with impunity, and he has his entire presidency.
Well, that's what I'm kind of hoping that buck will stop with the Benghazi and these emails. The same doesn't apply to Hillary. But the problem with that is Hillary's tied into his administration, and they know it.
She's trying to distance herself. By the way, she said the other day, talking about the Syrian policy and that she would have done things differently, but she was outvoted upon. In other words, Obama didn't like her advice, supposedly.
Yeah, right.
And then Obama trashed Hillary. Someone asked him about her not supporting his methods in Syria. And Obama says, well, he said, there's a big difference between running for president and being president. And I thought, ooh. I thought, okay. I just let you know, there's no love lost between those two. Anybody who thinks that they're good friends and that's just horse crap. They're not.
No.
She was being paid off basically for Bill Clinton support of Barack Obama. That was the payoff to let Hillary be Secretary of State. And that's just the way it works. That's just the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got about 10 minutes left. Let's talk about the Middle East and particularly Syria. Well, Vladimir Putin has made Obama look like a jackass again. He does it every time. And here's the thing. Russia went in and started bombing targets in Syria. He only gave the United States an hour notice before he did so. He sent a three-star general to a base in, I think, a base in Iraq, I believe. For sure. And somewhere, whatever. It doesn't really matter. And said, we're going to be bombing in Syria. We want you to keep your planes and your troops and whatever out of the way. And just want to let you know, give you a heads up. And we're starting in an hour. Which, of course, is not something you supposedly do, supposedly with an ally. And that just showed Putin's total disregard and disdain for Obama in the United States.
Would you ever see Putin saying that to Ronald Reagan?
Oh, hell no.
I just laugh when I go, you know, Putin wouldn't even think that with Reagan in office.
It wouldn't even be considered. It would not. With someone like a Reagan, it would not even be considered. I mean, and really, almost any American president except this jerk we have now, that would not happen. Now, here's the thing. Russia is telling the entire world. He told the UN that he is joining the United States in their fight against ISIS. Okay, and they supposedly were bombing ISIS targets in Syria. The reality is they were not bombing ISIS targets in Syria. They were bombing targets for the Free Syrian Army, which opposing Assad. And Putin has made it perfectly clear that Assad needs to stay in power. Obama says Assad needs to go. Putin says, no, he needs to stay. And so he is actually moving into Syria. He already has troops there. He already has tanks there. He already has planes there. They did no trick. I don't know if you heard this or not. They were moving in fighter jets, Ken, in Syria without the United States knowledge. You know how they did it? They took large transports that were flying into Syria bringing supplies. And that's normal. That happens. And they realized that. And so, you know, they had kind of had the green flag on that. Those fighter jets flew underneath those transport planes so they would be invisible to radar.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
So they snuck them right in under our nose. And
great job, Obama.
Well, I mean, in this case, I have to admit that I'm not sure that I blame Obama that. Our own military should have been sharper than that. You know,
I agreed.
That being said, maybe they did know it, and maybe they reported to Obama, but Obama wouldn't do anything. So, yeah, it could be. You know what I'm saying? I don't know all the details, but I do know that they did this little trick, and this was reported over the weekend that this supposedly happened. And I'm thinking, well, who the hell's, you know, doesn't anybody know this kind of thing? And the thing is, we've done that sort of thing before. The Israelis have done that sort of thing before in the past. And so it's like a known tactic that people use. And would you not think that if you started seeing more transport planes going in than normal, that you might think, hey, maybe they're trying to move in some fighter jets and stuff too? I mean, would that not just be kind of a logical assumption if you're in that sort of position? I would think. I don't know. I'm not a military guy, but
yeah.
If I've seen that trick before, if I'd used that trick before, I'd be thinking, hey, maybe they're doing it too. And I would check that out. At least I would anyway. But so basically Putin's playing chess and Obama's not even playing checkers. He's just watching. What do you think?
He doesn't get involved. That's the whole point. No boots on the ground. Don't get involved. Just do a little bit here and there to make it look like you're doing something. That's Obama. He's going to ride it out till he's out.
Well, the thing is, with the Russians now in charge in Syria, and here's the thing: the Russians are working with guess who? The Iranians.
Sure.
And
we're giving money to the Iranians to boost them up. It makes absolutely no sense unless you look at Obama and go, he wants this because he doesn't like Israel, because he is a Muslim. And when you look at it from that perspective, you go, oh, his actions make perfect sense.
Yeah, the only thing that makes Obama's actions not make sense is if you believe he's on our side.
That's what I mean.
Once you understand he's not on our side, that he doesn't have the best interest of the United States of America in his heart. Once you understand that, it makes perfect sense.
No, he's not a Christian. I mean, his actions don't show him. He can say it all day long, but he's not.
Well, I think his actions show that he's, you know, obviously I don't think he's Christian either. But secondly, it shows that he's not pro-American. I mean, he is the president of the United States, and his policies show and prove time after time that he does not have the best interests of this country at heart every single time.
And I just we're just so stupid we just go along with it.
But the American.
You know what I mean? I meant that in the media and the. Yeah. I mean, it's just. It amazes me how stupid we are that we let this. And it's all, like you said, he plays the race card. If you go up against him and you point out what he's doing wrong, you're a racist.
Well, you know what? He's gotten away with it his entire presidency, and he's going to use that card up until the day he leaves office. And even after he leaves office,
beyond, yeah,
he'll use that card to justify anything and everything he's ever done.
But you're right. What's going to happen? We're going to find out more about this guy as the years to come. We're going to find out how bad and what he's actually done. The Iranian thing alone could be World War III.
Well, here's the thing. We know that now that Russia was bombing the Free Syrian Army in Syria, which was supposedly our allies. We have given them arms, weapons, training, etc. And we're supposed to be their ally. And the Russians just bombed the bejesus out of them. What do we do? Nothing. And now you're in a position of, if you do retaliate, do you start World War III with Russia? And Russia could claim the high ground of saying, oh, we're in there. We were trying to help the United States, and then they attacked us. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you're all politicized.
Yeah. He's already taken the high ground. He's already got Obama right where he wants him. And Obama, trust me, at this point, he really can't do anything because he didn't put a stop to this on the front end. Now he's in a position where no matter what he does, if he does nothing, he looks like a coward, which he is, and he looks like an idiot, which he is. But if he tries to retaliate, the Russians can say, well, look, they've turned on us. We have to defend ourselves, blah, blah, blah. Putin has thought this thing out. Obama doesn't even have a clue. He doesn't even know how to respond. They've taken all this weekend, Ken, to try to figure this thing out. They've not issued a statement that I know of at all about this entire situation as if it never freaking happened.
Yeah, that's the way they work.
But how long does they get away with that? Even with the press being pro-Obama, how the hell can they get away with this? This is a disaster.
It is, but you know what? It's nothing different than anything else that Obama does. You don't say anything about it, and you play on, like you said, the Oregon shooting. That takes precedence. Okay, great. I got something that's distracted. Boom. I go to the Oregon shooting, and I politicize that, you don't talk about it, Primo. That's what he does. That's what he does. And he rides it out. He's going to ride it out for another year until he's out of office, and the next president's got to deal with it.
Well, it's going to be a hell of a mess for the next president. I tell you.
You're right. It is. But guess what? I'm so ready for the next president. I wish, when you got Boehner resigning, I wish Obama would go ahead and resign. Go play golf. We'll pay for it. Go ahead. Just get out.
I wish he'd go on permanent vacation. Just leave. Just go.
Yeah.
Go to Hawaii. Go to Chicago. And we'll give you the rest of the time off with pay. Just leave.
Go.
We're out of time. Jeez.
I'm about to cry, but thanks. Go ahead.
I know. We've just depressed everybody all to hell.
Yeah.
You want to take us out, Ken?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. I miss him. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. Oh, Lord. We're in such a mess. We'll see you next time.